Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a history book produced by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's Volume 1, titled Saints, the Standard of Truth. And although we're not going through it chapter by chapter, there certainly is a lot of information in it that needs to be examined. Yesterday, we were discussing the section in the book that talks about how the three witnesses saw the plates. And as we pointed out, what the book does not tell you, the documentary history of the church tends to tell you. And that is that it doesn't seem like the three witnesses saw tangible plates, but instead saw something in a vision. Now, to bolster that position, we need to also look at the testimony of the eight witnesses. And what's interesting is that Mormon historian Marvin Hill, when discussing whether or not the three witnesses saw tangible plates, makes this interesting statement. He said, "The evidence is extremely contradictory in this area, but there is a possibility that the three witnesses saw the plates in vision only." And this was in his review of No Man Knows My History, should you want to check that out. But here is a Mormon historian raising that very same question that we've raised. Why does it say in the History of the Church, Volume 1, page 55, that Martin Harris saw the plates in vision, the same way that the other two witnesses saw the plates? And remember, in yesterday's show, we mentioned Mary Whitmer, who claims that she was visited by Moroni in a barn, and that Moroni pulled out from a knapsack on his back the gold plates and showed them to Mary. Now, many Latter-day Saints reading these accounts would say, wow, there's three witnesses, and then there's Mary, there's four. They saw the plates. Well, ask yourself this. Why would you think Mary Whitmer would be able to see tangible plates, but apparently the three witnesses aren't allowed to see tangible plates? They only get to see the plates in vision, and only after they have faith and they pray about seeing them. This now brings us to the eight witnesses, because the eight witness account is on page 75 of the book, Saints. In fact, we should probably read that, Eric. Go ahead.
It says, a few days later, the Whitmers joined the Smith family at their farm in Manchester. Knowing the Lord had promised to establish his words in the mouth of as many witnesses as seemeth him good, Joseph went into the woods with his father, Hiram, and Samuel, as well as four of David Whitmer's brothers, Christian, Jacob, Peter Jr., and John, and their brother-in-law, Hiram Page.
Let me just stop you there, because that list of individuals compose really two families. Joseph went into the woods with his father, that would be Joseph Smith Sr., Hiram his brother, Samuel his brother, as well as four of David Whitmer's brothers, Christian, Jacob, Peter Jr., and John, and their brother-in-law, Hiram Page. Two families. Again, I need to ask the question. They're at the Whitmer farm in Manchester. That's where the translation is taking place, in the Whitmer cabin. It's been recreated. You can go visit it. I've been there. I've seen this where it supposedly took place. And my question is why are they leaving the home, the cabin, and going out into the woods to see the plates that are on the second floor where the translation was going on? That just seems so odd to me.
Maybe it's not very spiritual. And so when you can include prayer as part of this, then it's going to perhaps be more acceptable to people as being a spiritual revelation. Notice the next paragraph on page 75 of Saints. The men gathered at the spot where the Smith family often went to pray privately. With the Lord's permission, Joseph uncovered the plates and showed them to the group. They did not see an angel as the three witnesses had, but Joseph let them hold the record in their hands, turn its pages, and inspect its ancient writing. Handling the plates affirmed their faith that Joseph's testimony about the angel and the ancient record was true.
Now, if you had only that to go by, how could you not assume that they are seeing tangible, physical plates? That's the impression I get. And I'm sure anybody reading that account the way it is on page 75, they would also assume that they were seeing tangible plates. But why is it that we have other information that gives us more detail that makes us wonder if that's really true? I wrote an article, and you can find it on mrm.org. It's titled, Did the 11 Witnesses Actually See the Gold Plates? If you want to see this article, it's mrm.org/11-witnesses. This is what I say. Later comments that could clarify the language used in the testimony of the eight witnesses are scarce, but several historians and researchers recount a statement made by John Whitmer that makes their experience sound similar to the three witnesses. Whitmer was excommunicated from the LDS Church on March 10, 1838, along with W.W. Phelps. Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer would also be excommunicated a month later. On April 5, 1839, Theodore Turley challenged John Whitmer to either affirm or deny his testimony regarding the gold plates. Whitmer responded by saying the plates, quote, were shown to me by a supernatural power. And you can find this in the History of the Church, Volume 3, page 307. The plates were shown to John Whitmer by a supernatural power. Does that sound like a supernatural power is included in this story on page 75, Eric? It just sounds like Joseph Smith has the plates and he's showing them the plates, turning the leaves over one by one.
Yeah, and also if you look at Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling by Richard Bushman, a Mormon historian, he has a very similar story. In fact, it seems very closely written. I'm sure they probably used some of Bushman's material. This is what Bushman wrote. There, Joseph showed them the plates, this time without an angel present. They turned over the leaves, examined the characters and the workmanship, and held the plates in their own hands. They later signed a statement saying that what they had seen and testifying that they knew of a surety that the said Smith has got the plates of which we have spoken. It's interesting. It doesn't seem like we're getting a full picture of what is taking place. And as you mentioned, why would we think that Mary had a better experience than the three witnesses? And then why would we think the eight witnesses would have had a better experience than the three witnesses? It seems like it would be on the same plane.
That's always troubled me. But yet when you talk to most Latter-day Saints, they just naturally assume that all of them saw physical plates. But the language becomes very confusing. Now, you have other writers that have written about Joseph Smith's history, and you have, for instance, Robert N. Hollinger on page 133 of his book, Joseph Smith's Response to Skepticism. Hollinger says this. He says, in 1838, John Whitmer left the church and was confronted by Theodore Turley. Now, this is the story that I read a little bit earlier on volume 3, page 307 of the History of the Church. Hollinger apparently seems to get the same impression that I got reading that section, that something was amiss here, that it really wasn't a physical appearance that they saw in these plates, that it had to be more of a supernatural thing, because he's going to quote what John Whitmer said. But you have to remember, Theodore Turley is a Mormon. He's not an enemy of the church. And Hollinger says, 1838, John Whitmer left the church, was confronted by Theodore Turley, who reminded Whitmer that he had published to the world that an angel did present those plates to Joseph Smith, although that is not what the testimony of the eight claims. Whitmer nevertheless affirms that the plates, quote again, were shown to me by a supernatural power, end quote. But he could not vouch for the translation because he could not read the engravings on the plates. Martin Harris publicly denied that the eight witnesses ever saw the plates. The eight paused before in their testimony, he said, and signed only after much persuasion. That's what Hollinger says. Now, here's what really gets to me. On page 75, Joseph Smith's father, Joseph Smith Sr., is there with these other gentlemen that make up the eight witnesses. But yet Marvin Hill, a Mormon historian, records that William Smith, the brother of Joseph Smith. Now, William was not there with the eight. He's another brother. The two brothers were Hiram and Samuel that are part of these eight witnesses. But Marvin Hill records that William Smith said that his father, and I'm quoting now from an article he wrote in Dialogue, A Journal of Mormon Thought, Volume 7, Number 4, page 84. William Smith said his father, quote, never saw the plates except under a frock. Why isn't that brought out in this narrative?
Because it doesn't fit the purpose of what the writers are trying to do.
They're trying to give us the impression that there were real plates that Joseph Smith had in his possession. But yet, when you look at some of the information behind this story, you start to see that the way it's worded in the testimony of the three witnesses and the testimony of the eight witnesses isn't quite the way it reads.
And yet, how often on the streets have you had this information given to you that there were 11 witnesses? Doesn't matter about the weight, because we have those 11 witnesses.
I've heard that many times, that it didn't matter to them if the plates were too heavy. They can't answer the questions that I have for them. But it doesn't matter, as you said, because people saw them. Well, yes, they said they saw them, but just as a person can see things in a vision, you can't assume that what they're seeing is something that's physical. And that's what's important. Did Smith really have gold plates, or was he just conning people into thinking he had something like that? Now, let me just state up front. I believe he had something that was wrapped up, because people did say they felt them. They never really saw what was under the linen frock or in the box, but they knew he had something. He must have had something, but I don't think it was gold plates. I really cannot believe that.
This really explains the power of the pen. And what the authors here are able to do is get you to assume things that aren't really true. And how many Latter-day Saints are going to be critical enough reading this book, which is a fifth grade kind of writing? It's very simple writing. But I think if you were to read this chapter on fellow servants, I think that this is meant to be faith promoting. And that's exactly what the writers are trying to do. They want you to really have a confidence that the Book of Mormon is true, that these witnesses are credible.
But let me ask you this, Eric. This book is written, and I have to admit, there's a lot of things written in this new narrative that you cannot find in the older narrative sometimes. And so I think they're trying to be more transparent. If they're really trying to be more transparent, why did they not include these things in this book? They had a perfect opportunity to say, you know, there's some controversy over whether or not they saw physical plates, but they don't include it. So while they're insisting they're wanting to be more transparent to their members and the general public, here's a case where they clearly are not.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.